it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to talk with Jake Ferguson here. The Cowboys Player Show, the Jake Ferguson Show, brought to you by Miller Lite, proud sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Jake. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Man, we are doing wonderful. It's you know, been a lot of fun reacting to the Jets game and getting ready for this Panthers game, and that's where I want to start. What did you think of Rico saying buckle up?
I think that's, I mean, benefit of the doubt, I also do know, or I know Rico, and he's probably fired up, which is cool, and that's good, but, you know, I'm not much of the bulletin board material guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm more of just like, let's play the game. You know what I mean?
So you're not like like the Jordan thing where you take a little thing and then you blow it up into proportion and you obsess about it going into it. You're more laid back.
Yeah, and I mean, my personal, like, I used to be like that for sure. Like, kind of, and I'm talking like probably like when I was a lot younger, high school maybe. But like, I found out quick that a lot of the times, the more juiced up, like, oh, I'm gonna go crazy, you know what I mean? The more you tend to lose focus on, like, the little things. And don't get me wrong, you can still play physical and stuff like that. But, yeah, I just think you can overflow that pot pretty quick.
Well, you're getting it figured out pretty good. I mean, I do have your stat of the week here for you, Jake. I know you're not paying too much attention to it, but tied for the most receptions by a tight end through the first five games in NFL history, my man. Congrats on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know what goes through my head right there when you say that?
What's that?
Tied and then a couple of those drops early.
Oh. Could have been more.
Could have been.
Well, I mean, both your touchdowns were pretty awesome, though. Which was your favorite and why?
Are you talking last with Jets?
Yeah. Yes.
I think that my favorite one was the second one. The first one, obviously, the setup from the big boys. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the end of that, I've caught on a lot of heat from this. If you watch the end of that, I pushed T. Steele away, Terrence Steele. He's trying to celebrate with me, and I push him away because I was looking for George because we had planned that stupid dance. Oh. And I walk in on Monday, and they're like, every single O-lineman I see is like, man, that's crazy, Jake. Like, that's crazy. Pushing away Keith Steele. I felt bad. And then, but yeah, the second one, better Selly. That was my, I mean, first one back, I was scrambling for the celebration. But yeah, second one definitely just because I got to see the big boys.
Okay, well, you couldn't miss Nate Thomas celebrating with all the pumping. I mean, he gets flagged for it, but how amazing was that?
Yeah, that was crazy. That's the Key and Peele skit, the Hingle McKringleberry or whatever. But the ref threw the flag, and we were like, no, like, what happened? Like, holding, we thought it was an illegal man downfield at first. And then he walked past us and goes, yeah, he triple pumped. Can't do that. And he was laughing. We're like, oh, damn.
Two pump max then?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't see the full thing on film, but I'm pretty sure he
yeah, it might have been five pumps. I mean, I lost count after a little bit. Are those your favorite jerseys to wear? Those like Arctic whites?
No, surprisingly, I'm a Navy fan.
Ooh.
I like the Navies. I really like the Navies. And then obviously those aren't my favorite simply because the pants aren't comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, they're a little bit different material. Is that what it is?
Yeah. If you watch that game back, you'll see me pulling up my pant like almost any time Dak makes a check or anything. Anytime there's a pause on offense.
Just like a plumber's crack situation. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
No, it's the fact that they slide. They like ride down, like they just drop. Maybe I need a belt. But they just drop down and then like cover my, they like the whole knee pad covers my knee, which it sounds like it's normal, but you like to have it a little higher.
So has there been an emphasis? Have you seen these guys dropping the football before they cross the plane of the end zone? I mean, is there any type of practice emphasis to make sure that we're not doing that?
No, I mean, that's – yeah, I don't understand that one, truthfully. But, no, we do have a saying. We've had to create a saying based off of just what's been happening through the letters and logos, basically. So it's like three – like letters and logos of the end zone, so like 3 yards in.
You brought up Dak and checks there, Ferg. I've always wondered, like,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pre-snap, you know, because we don't know, like, what is Dak checking out of a play here and there? So what is that like? Can you take us through, like, pre-snap, everything that's being the audibles? I know you're probably listening for certain things, but, like, Dak's development, because he seems like in total command, and you've now played with him for several years.
Oh, yeah. I think this is the year. I mean, yeah, this is definitely the most vocal and, like at the line of scrimmage, like, we're making checks or just being, like, just communicating, really. Like at a high level. And I think it's definitely different this year than it has been in previous. But yeah, I mean, we get up there. And there's also a testament to this offense. You know what I mean? Like how we're able to be coached, this team, the receiving core, the O-line, making like protection checks. And then also just having Dak at the helm, making those checks and also like just communicating it through to us. It completely opens up a whole new game, like especially in the pass game.
Jake Ferguson Show here with you on 105.3 The Fan. They're saying you become like the best security blanket for Dak since Witten, and that's getting a lot of media attention. What's the key to developing that trust with him and to being so reliable for him right now?
Yeah, I think if you're talking like checkdowns and stuff like that, like whether I'm chipping off the line or, you know, it's just a little short route, like that's a testament to the receivers in our receiving core. Like those guys have to drop back into coverage and or else, you know, we're taking a shot. And you saw that last week with like Flournoy and stuff like that. And some of those young guys stepping up, but like sometimes they have to drop, you know, into crazy in quarters and like take away the deep shots. And then that's when those checkdowns hit. But at the same time, like the connection with Dak that like we're trying to establish and keep going, obviously, I think that starts pre-season, pre-OTAs, we were going golf and he took the whole receiving core, out to Georgia and, you know, we do throwing sessions as well as workouts, as well as just hanging out, getting to know each other. And that kind of stuff coming from your quarterback it's so easy to buy in. And like, when you're thinking of, you know, the quarterback flying lead and we'll fly wing, like, that's exactly what you want from your quarterback and your lead guy. And he's doing exactly that. And then, you know, I mean, we're both trying to break 100 on the golf course when it's off season. So that's also a pretty big, you know, connection right there.
How's that going for you?
Terrible. Terrible. I've broken it a couple of times. There was one point I was in the low 90s, but then obviously fall camp hits and you don't want to go because, you know, your back starts to go and stuff like that. But yeah, it's all about connection. And that's also kind of what Shoddy has been preaching is, you know, like something that separates us is our connection with one another and like how we get to know each other as men. Cause then once you get to know a guy, you'll be willing to go to war for him. Like, that's just how it goes. You know what I mean? And it's all throughout the whole team.
Hey Jake, you guys are going to connect on one of those seam passes. It looks like to me that your eyes were back quick. Like you were expecting that ball a little bit earlier than maybe. Do you think you were going to get it before you got to the end zone?
Yeah. You hit that on the money. You hit that exactly on the money. Okay. I got really excited because if you watch that, he's dropping the guy's in the seams dropping from the A gap.
Uh-huh. Right.
And because he's mugged up and they're disguising some stuff or whatever.
Sure.
And I took three steps. I go, this is my ball.
Yeah.
And I turned around when I should have just kept running. But
yeah, no,
that's one I wish I, that's the one, there's two I wish I could have had back from that game. And that was three actually.
Yeah. Plays. I didn't mean to bring that one up, but I just remember watching the game I was sitting there thinking like, gosh, dang, he was expecting the ball almost like a hot. Like you, like sometimes you get that. You just how quickly you got your eyes back to him. I was sitting there thinking, man, he was thinking he was going to get that ball right now. Is what it was.
I blew my wad on that one. That one was no good.
Well, that was very graphic. What do you think about this Panthers defense? Because just watching them, and obviously I don't have a trained eye. Brian does here, but it seems like you're going to have some opportunities against this Carolina defense.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, there's spots in it and there's things we could take advantage of. I think it's going to start with the O-line first and foremost. And then obviously Tay running the ball. That's how I think the ball or the game should always go, being a Wisconsin guy. But no, there's definitely opportunities. And you know, I think we got a great game plan and we're still working on it as well. But no, we're definitely making good strides.
Could you give us the Jake Ferguson food review rating of the Cat's Deli Sandos you guys got in the post game?
Yeah, I liked it. However, I got it when it was cold because I came out late.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just not a cold sandwich guy, honestly. No.
You need the hot pastrami. We're gonna have to redo this for you.
What was it?
I thought they came cold though. Like I thought that was. Or were they supposed to be hot?
Cats, I think, usually is pretty hot. They like pull them right out and they're carving them on the board. And that's a hot pastrami sandwich right there.
That's supposed
right
to be hot for you. Corned beef, pastrami. Yeah, they're taking that right out of the bin and putting it right on the block and serving that thing up.
Okay. Yeah. I probably just got it at a wrong time.
You got screwed. What about quick?
It was good for what it was.
Girl Scout cookie. I did a top 10 Girl Scout cookies earlier. What's your favorite?
I'm the peanut butter ones.
With the tagalongs.
That was number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely peanut butter ones, and then I do like I can only do one sleeve of Thin Mints before I tap out. Like, I can't overdo Thin Mints, but they're good.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Slightly chilled?
Yes. Almost every chocolate is, for me, going in the freezer.
Okay. There you go.
I like that style.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, if you're hungry tomorrow after practice, we're going to be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. I just want to invite you. We'll have a hot burger waiting for you.
Where is that at? How far is that from Frisco?
I don't know. What do you think? 20 minutes or so?
It's a bit of a haul.
Everything's 20 to 30 minutes.
See if Jerry will lend you the helicopter out there on the field, practice field. Just jump on and come see us.
Well, have a hell of a time in Charlotte and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you, Jake.
Yes, sir, fellas. Appreciate you guys.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.